At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What up, Jay Foreman, DP, Austin Orman, Old School Crew, coming at you live, 1040 O Street. Awesome day again in the low 80s, no wind. The weather next week changes a little bit, so enjoy yourself. Again, once again, if you get a chance, go to any of the four locations, 84th and Hadlock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat, and 168th and Maple. Stock up because you can grill when it gets a little nipply outside. So anyways, we're going to talk some more football here because there's a lot going on. We'll do some NFL stuff since San Fran played last night. A little bit undermanned. Went up to Seattle. Jumped on them quick. Seattle came back, but I just feel like the connection between Geno Smith and Metcalf is just not there yet. And you could tell by that last interception, Metcalf was just going through the motions. And, you know, I think, you know, when you think about this, it's more of a conversation along the tiers of receivers, DP. Because when you see Metcalf, I mean, he's big like a defensive end. He's one of the fastest receivers in the league, powerful, still puts up great stats. But in high pressure situations, you see the same thing over and over and over. Whether it's he has it, then he tries to get an extra yard and fumbles, or he has a big drop. Last night, doesn't square off a deep end cut. Geno's throwing to a spot where he should be. He rounds it off. And the reason why I think it's important, I can bring the Indiana factor in, is because when you get in those situations, like when they're trying to march down the field, they're going to attack the hashes first before they go up the sideline. That's just the way offensive coordinators call things. They're just going to the middle of the field and out. Now, if you got like a little dumb rookie cornerback out there, you can take him out from the get-go. But if DJ Metcalf ran, here's what I look at. If he ran that route at the combine where you round off, and you played receiver, right? When you round off 12 to 15 yard in, we used to call it bang eight. They're going to, well, you know what they're going to say? The same thing they said about him. Straight line speed, poor route runner. But what tells me this far into your career, you have to know you have to run a perfect route or a really, really, that's a poor route, a decent route against a team that knows you. And it looked like he just chose just to kind of go through the motions.
How much of that do you give credit to the conversation that we didn't hear? Because there were several conversations throughout the course of that game, and you could see the disconnect, right?
Geno was looking at him like, right, what are you doing?
Well, but you saw Metcalf talking to the coaches,
right? On the headset,
right? On the headset, hey. And then face to face,
grub,
right, yeah. Face to face, you're talking about a systemic disconnect. Like that's a big disconnect. When a receiver decides, hey, I'm not going to run the route the way I know it needs to be run in order for it to be successful. Right? And then to say, because to me, I would ask the question, what route were you running and why? Because I would imagine that the receiver didn't buy into the route combination.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, nope, that's not going to be there.
Yeah, I think
if you go back and watch the tape of them after the play, it was almost as though he told him, I don't want to run that because it's not going to be completed.
Yeah.
Like I've had that conversation. I've heard that conversation. Mm. And to say, I know this is what you want me to run against this defense.
Yeah.
In this coverage, but let me get tight at the top of the route.
Yeah.
Rather than lose. Let me make an adjustment that as a veteran receiver now, right? Mm. And who do you trust more, Geno or DK, because that's the conversation they're going to have in Seattle for the next 6 days.
Yeah, and then the rest of the season. Because right? I think it's a bigger issue because there's an old saying, and you deal with this on defense. We struggled like for a few weeks with Vic Fangio and the way that the defense was being called. And obviously that it started because we were getting poor results. I always tell the story. When we ran cover eight. He's like, and we doing self scout during the bye week. And he put up, we're good in this part. We're good in kind of the green zone. He's like, when we run cover eight red zone, he's like, we're giving up a score 80% of the time. Aaron Glenn, who at that point didn't say anything. He stands up and is like, why the hell you keep calling it then? Right? Well, ding, ding, the light went on. We just went back to regular cover eight because the way Vic wanted to run our cover eight in the red zone was confusing because the second level thought we were playing it one way. The third level was playing it. It was just chaos. Well, then it came to this. This is what we decided as a defense. Okay, if he calls it, he wants to call it for a reason. We have to do a better job of making it right. You know what I'm saying? Because ultimately we're out there. Because the fan that's watching the game doesn't know that we hate playing cover eight red zone with a red zone tag when we were balling in cover 8-6-4-3, 5-4-3-2-1. Who do you appreciate regular time, right?
But so the coach knows that Jay Foreman don't want to be in it.
Well, he did after then. Right. But here's the point though with DK though. That route is a route that you have to be able to run. That route, actually, you were very tight at the top of the route. You didn't want to run that route. And you know what? It's a part on the coach, right? If a player says, I don't want to do it, well, then I got to get, well.
Somebody else.
You got Smith and Jigba over there who could definitely do it. You could maybe get Lockett do it, but you have to do it a different way because he's not a true number one. He's not 6'4", 240 pounds. So it's on the coach not to put him in that situation. And this is where you, and I hate saying this because you're supposed to be a professional. There's a lot of things you have to do in any profession that you don't like to do, but you do it, right? You know what I'm saying? There's no perfect.
I so want to ask you what that line is and how you define the line and how you maneuver past
because it was the line is I want to win.
Right.
How bad do you want to win? It showed me he don't want to win that bad.
Or but does it say that the coach?
No, he don't want to win that bad.
Because
that route right there was a give up route. Like he don't give a dang. I can guarantee you he's probably in his big house right now. He might not tell you. He's surrounded by his little buddies and his dude boys. Mm-hmm. He's got some regret because that route right there.
Oh, it's a terrible route.
That route right there. That's embarrassing for somebody that's of his stature.
Terrible route.
So that's a no respect for the game of football. This has had nothing to do with coaching, you know, and it's also a route that actually you can run because you was winning the route. The only reason the guy got the interception, essentially you just said, here you go. Now,
was that a competition thing at compete at the ball thing?
Well, it was,
how would you describe it?
It was a little bit of everything. It was a little bit of giving up, no competition, no doing what you have to do, even when you don't want it. So what it tells me like, is like, you have no discipline.
Here's another thing. Here's a question for you. Is he hurt?
I don't know. He just looks too big to be hurt. He looked too big to be hurt. But this is the same.
But that would be the only logical.
Because he couldn't come out of the break there. Now like you have to know that as a coach. But right, I think
that
with him.
That was the thing that came to mind. One, I mean, the conversations were there. And there were several series prior to that where they did replace him.
Right.
And they ran that route. And you saw it come off,
but his history,
but you also didn't have a finisher make the play.
But his history with San Francisco is not very good.
Well, listen,
from Ward, when Ward was there, when Jimmy Ward was there, they was rat-a-tat-tat in his big behind for a lot.
100%.
And here's the dime on him. Mm-hmm. You can get in his head. How big and strong and physical, you can get him to do something to lose a game.
It's sad to me. That he opened himself up to these discussions.
Right, because he's too good of a player. And he's came a long way, though. You know what I'm saying? You got to think he came in and everybody gave him respect to run routes. He's gotten better. But I think what you see with a lot of guys, with his mental makeup, once they make it, they revert back to what was curtailing them. And with Pete Carroll being gone and he's the big dog on the team. There's no Bobby Wagner to tighten him up. So if Bobby Wagner is there, that doesn't happen. There's no Bobby Wagner there. He's the senior statesman on that team. He's the one that's most high profile. He might be the highest paid. He's the most prolific. That's the guy. So now guess who he's in competition with? The head coach. Okay, the head coach.
But here's the thing. I don't think DK's ever been their 1A. It's always been Tyler Lockett.
Under pressure.
Lockett was the guy, and you bring in Smith to kind of add to Njigba. You bring him in, and it should create the perfect trio because they all do different things at different levels.
Yeah, should all make each other better.
And then how do you find yourself in a game-winning critical situation going away from the two route-running disciplined receivers and making the throw to your most athletic?
Well, this is the conversation that they're having up there in Seattle, and it's going to be on a loop repeat. Yeah. And then they got it all weekend. They'll have it all next week because that loss last night stung, considering, and it stung two ways, because they started so slow, then they picked it up through the air in the pass game, and then there was a dud like that on a route that they had the potential of catch and run or run after the catch to process. He's so big, fast, and strong. He can outrun angles and he can run through tackles. It's all about what if. DP has a point. Why would you put a guy that's uninterested in running that route out there? You have a guy that is big, fast, and strong in Smith and Jigba that can run that route and just flip him on the side.
Well, you run the spread with Noah Fant running that route, and you get all.
You can run it like what the Gronkowski did against the Chiefs a couple of years ago. There's plenty of ways to get to it. I just think, as a matter of fact, I know it's a battle of a guy that's trying to pee on his territory, flap his wings a little bit, and you got a coach that's coming from the Ravens and McDonald that's no nonsense. He's straight out of John Harbaugh.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
So he's not like,
what did DK learn last night? Don't pee into the wind, DK. Yep.
Yeah, he did. Like, he learned.
Downwind, not upwind.
Don't pee on yourself, DK.
He learned, don't eat yellow snow. That's the best tip.
You didn't accomplish what you thought you were accomplishing.
Yeah. But you know what? It's a tough loss for Seattle. They after starting 3-0, they're now losing 3 in a row. And let me tell you something, man. Losing 3 games in a row in the NFL is like death. And doing it going into a mini bye week sucks. And I hate saying it. Would you rather lose on Thursday or Sunday? I'd rather lose on Sunday because at least you got, you know, less time in between games. They got all weekend to let that fester.
Well, he'd go to Starkville and go hang out.
Yeah, he'll probably be down there. He'll be down there in Baton Rouge. Yeah with old or Lane. Obviously, after the aftermath of the Jets, Austin, with my man Brickhouse taking over. Getting his first couple of days of practicing with A.A. Ron at the helm, new offensive coordinator. You're starting to really hear the facts that came out.
What did we hear, Jay?
You just heard that.
What did we hear?
Well, this is what I do know.
Yeah.
You know, I won't say names. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this is what I was told by two different people. That, they were going to make a change. It happens all the time. I talked about Joe Pendry. And Joe Pendry still was the coordinator when we went to the playoffs 2 years. They just took a little bit of – they took Joe Pendry from being the full coordinator, that means passing game and run game, and just had him focus on one. Then they brought somebody else in. Or not brought somebody, they just elevated somebody else in to make Joe Pendry more efficient. It happens all the time. And that was what they wanted to see just based on different ideas. Maybe in a lot of times – and I'll talk about this just from a defensive standpoint – and I'll talk about this when I was in Buffalo as a defensive standpoint. Now, granted, we always had pretty good defenses in Buffalo, but when like Wade would probably jump in and call some stuff and versus Tecatrell, it's the flow of the game. It's no different than having a catcher that, you know, you might have thought worked well with Austin. Well, then the mojo's off or whatever. It's like a, you know, like a caddy with a golfer. They've been really good. Well, just the mojo's off. Then you bring a new caddy, and then it's no different. It's not the caddy himself. It's just a different flow, a different line of communication. And that's what they were trying to do. Aaron did not like that. Obviously, he's willing to go to bat for Nathaniel Hackett, you know, to the utmost. And, you know, called in the ultimate favor. And essentially, he had the last little ace in the hole and got Robert Saleh removed. I've been on teams where guys have gotten coaches removed. I don't know if I would. That never would have crossed my mind. I grew up around coaches, you know, like Bud Grant. And I just would never do that. I mean, first of all, I don't think I was ever in that type of position as a player to do that. It just would never cross my mind. I understand it sometimes if it's – now, I will say when it becomes personal, kind of like with DeAndre Hopkins and Bill O'Brien, I do understand that. I don't even think DeAndre Hopkins did it. He just removed himself from Houston.
As the great poet Jay Foreman has once said, there's no one as petty as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, and that is true. There's as petty as a coach, and that depends on the coach. And so the aftermath is that you know, Aaron Rodgers talked to Woody Johnson. Now everybody wants to get in who called who. At the end of the day, they were on the phone. The conversation was had 5 minutes later. Robert Saleh is not only fired. They walked the man out of the building.
You can't get all your stuff.
Your car is waiting.
That's probably a little right. So that means
it's already running. No, nothing to worry about. It's running.
So we got you a car. Here. Yeah. We already took your keys out your desk. So your car that you got or whatever, we got it. And, you know, and it's not an ideal situation for Brickhouse to be the head coach, but it'd be interesting to see how he does the rest of the season.
Have you ever been walked out of a building like that, Jay?
Oh, what for what?
No, like fired. Terminated, separated.
No. I mean, I don't know why they would do that. Like that, they didn't do it with Adam Gase, though. They were saying they said just did it with him. I don't know. I just think that.
Am I wrong for wanting the Colts to hire Robert Saleh midseason as their DC?
I think San Francisco wants him back. As San Francisco was able to win that game, their defense still is booty with all that talent. I doubt he does it. He probably just tries to figure out his next move. I just think that
his next move is India. I figured it out for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the Jets are the season's over for them.
Boy, we didn't have that in the pool. Didn't have that in the lotto.
At 2-3?
Did either of you hear Eric Mangini's theory from 2 weeks ago? Mm-mm. He said, watch out if the Jets lose in London because Woody Johnson, former ambassador to the UK, had all the friends at the game.
So he's embarrassed?
Yeah. So Eric Mangini says he wonders if Woody Johnson just got petty. That you lost in front of my friends on top of the other stuff.
Or what if your friends bet on you in London? Your big money friends bet on you.
Or that.
And yeah. Lost.
There's a lot that probably goes into it, but I can see that doing.
Ooh.
Eric Mangini's been around that organization.
Yeah, and Eric Mangini has benefited off that. So, Eric Mangini has one of the best coaching. I guess the 48 hours of coaching it was magnificent. He was with the Jets, and they were decent with him, but then he lost his way. They were horrible. He gets fired on a Monday. Tuesday night, he's coaching the Browns. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like when did he, like, because I start thinking, like, when did you interview? Who else did they interview? What did you say in 24 to, let's say 36 hours? Mm-hmm. What could you have done to be so appealing for Cleveland to say, you know what, pump the brakes? The dude that just ran one of the blue blood or one of the, you know, marquee franchises into the ground. We need him here in our we need him to revive Cleveland.
It may have been done in the previous 48 hours.
Yeah, right? I know.
The previous 48
hours. Yeah, things are a little shaky over here.
It's other 48 hours that we forget about.
We have a word for that now. We call it tampering.
Yeah. I mean, it's
in the other 48 hours, it doesn't matter what you do. We're gonna give you a job, my friend.
I mean, it's
because it's your boy. It's your boy, Mangini.
Yeah, it's not. Well, it's Mangini. right? Then he turned around and then he told on Belichick. And then he went out to San Francisco and he's like, oh, you know what? I feel like I'm going to be on TV now. And he's actually pretty good. And he's actually funny with Nick Wright and all those. But
of course, he's hilarious. He knows where all the bodies are buried.
Yeah. He can play up that. He's kind of like a bootleg version of Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
He's dry, but he has a little bit. He is, though, be honest with you. Like, right?
Never I mean, thought about it like that, but
he is. So I mean, even, but yeah. I will that's give so you know what? Good. Bill Belichick is actually pretty good. What he said, he's like, remember, he's like, all right, I've seen enough of Taylor Swift. We need to do some football. Right when he was on the Manicast. I mean, he actually is pretty funny because he has, and he has a ton of shows. It's like him and Matt Patricia have their own, like, breakdown. He's on there with Chad Ochocinco and all those guys. And then he does his own stuff. He's doing, he's actually, you know, it's actually, it's good. He's more hireable now than maybe last year. But Eric Mangini is the bootleg version of Bill Belichick. Dry. You know, he kind of, you know, throws some daggers at you. And then, you know, he is kind of funny. And then he doesn't, when everybody else is laughing, he just sits there and is like, yeah, I know I'm funny.
That's the subtle flex that lets you know.
Yeah.
When he's not laughing at his own jokes.
Yeah.
But, like, but yeah, the guy knows he's funny. He's not laughing. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Because you know he rehearsed that in his hotel room. Or
he was waiting.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Perfect.
That's exactly what it is.
Perfect play call.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Yeah.
All you need is a little pencil. You can be like Matt Patricia, put the pencil in his ear and stuff, man. It's hey, man, you know, look, I will say this, you know, it's not all coaches, but there's some coaches that are petty. I mean, look, when you think of Matt Patricia, we'll talk to him about him in particular. When he was, and this has nothing to do with him as when he was, or as a person, but, or it does as a person, but not as like being petty. But the way he goes, like some of them can be like over. I get it now with as much money as you're making and how you have to, you can be held accountable for like the janitor, you know, and that's an extreme case, but somebody that you hire could be way down the food chain and they mess up and you're, you know, everybody's like, well, you hired him, right? So you have to be a control freak. Darius Slay told this story on his podcast. And I was, you know, I always try to listen to different people's stuff. And he was like, man, Matt Patricia, find me, essentially found a way around about, he fined him for something else because he was working out with his trainer. That's the weird, right? How dare you? I'm going to fine you, right? So he's like, I got fined twice. I got fined the money I paid for my trainer. And then I got fined in a roundabout way for trying to be a better player. And so that's where the, you know, where you see there's some of the hangups of, you know, whether it's being petty or sometimes going overboard and wanting to know what anybody and everybody's doing. But so, you know, when you're winning like the Patriots, you can do it. But then when you're winning like Detroit was, you can't do it. And especially when you have a pretty good corner that was traded very quickly after that to Philly. But that's NFL talk. We didn't get to talk about our Pittsburgh Steelers and Russell Wilson being number two. Cam Newton made his appearance today, which I'm not really sure I would have probably pushed over the edge to be on Four Letter Network, but they must be struggling to have Cam on there. And he thought that Russell Wilson should get traded. I want you two to think right now. Would you, two things, would you trade Russell or Fields, and where would you trade them, considering what's going on right now in the league, right? You got Aiden O'Connell, ready to lead the Raiders back, man. Look like a bootleg, right?
Wow.
There you go. He's worse than that Buffalo quarterback that John Gruden brought in. What's the dude?
J.P.
Peterman.
Oh, no. But J.P. got money.
Yeah, he was just, he just
but
left.
But he's not the Peterman.
Yeah. J.P. Lossman just got hurt and left.
Yeah.
Peterman threw 8 passes, 3 for picks, 2 for touchdown, like interception touchdown. Yeah. Worst in NFL history and kept getting jobs. He's probably in the NFL now. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll see where Pittsburgh, as the world turns in Pittsburgh, where the quarterback's going to end up. If they end up anywhere, Jay Foreman, D.P. Austin, we'll be right back.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno can make the radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.